Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What is the meaning of this festival? Does a festival have to have meaning? No, festival just means fun, joy. So here we have joy, singing, dancing, color, free vegetarian food, means it's joyful for the animals also, they don't have to get their throats cut. But there is a meaning to this food, there's lots of meaning. One of the important points, or the first point, is that this is a spiritual festival. Spiritual means it's not simply concerned with the affairs of this world. Contrary to what we are taught at school, we are spiritual beings. According to what we're taught at school, we're some kind of blob that falls out of our mother's stomach, screaming. We struggle all through life, and then we die, and then it's all finished. But we are eternal spiritual beings. When this body inevitably dies, we do not die, because we are not this body. This body is temporary, but me and you and every living being, we are eternal. Not only will we continue to exist after this body dies, but we existed before this body existed, because we have no intrinsic relationship with this body whatsoever. We are in the material world. Unless you didn't notice, we are here in this material world. In this material world, there's always a struggle. Everyone wants to be happy, but our happiness is very much limited. We try to be happy. In fact, if you think about it, everything we do, from the moment we're born until the moment that we die, we do to try to be happy. All our endeavors are aimed at being happy, at getting happiness and avoiding distress. But unfortunately, we cannot avoid distress. We don't want to grow old. We don't want to die. We don't want to get diseased. Mostly we don't want to go to work. Most people in the modern age spend most of their life doing some kind of job which they don't like, just to get some money so that they can live. So this is our life. Unhappy life. Or even if we're happy, who's happy? Who's happy in this world? Who should be happy? Good Queen Bess, she should be happy. Queen Elizabeth, she's been the Queen of England for so many years, 60 years plus. David Beckham should be happy. He's got lots of money and fame and so many things. You've all heard the name. I've heard the name of David Beckham too. But whoever we may be, however much money we may have, However famous we may be, however many facilities we may have for happiness, no one is fully happy in this world. And, okay, thank you. Making me happy, thank you. And even if we do have some measure of happiness, the inexorable wheel of fate forces us to leave this world, this body, and we don't know where we go. Wait a minute, this is supposed to be a festival. We're supposed to be happy, right? What am I telling all this miserable stuff for? Well, if you're going to be happy, we should know how to be happy and to get free from happiness. We're all in ignorance because we all want to be happy, but we're not happy. That means that we don't know how to be happy. By nature, we are happy beings. Spiritual means happy. That's our very nature. That's why we always try to be happy, because we're meant to be happy. But in material life, it doesn't work. Whatever we do, it doesn't work. We might get a little happiness for a little time, but it doesn't last. And even whatever happiness we get, it's always mixed with some kind of distress. And distress can come at any time. So I didn't want to spoil your festival, but I'm just speaking some... This is not a religious talk, by the way. It's just... This is just facts that everyone can understand. I'm not talking any dogma here. I'm not saying, believe what we say or you burn in hell. I'm just speaking some facts which everyone can understand. That we are all meant to be happy because that is our very nature. But in material existence, we're all, it's like chasing the end of the rainbow. You can never, it looks good, it looks beautiful, but you can never find it. So the reason for this is because we have no intrinsic relationship with this world. We are spiritual beings. Spiritual means, in technical terms, Sat Chit Ananda. Sat means that we are by nature eternal. Chit means that we are conscious. And Ananda means that we are blissful. This is the nature of spiritual reality. Eternal, conscious or knowledgeable, and happy. Material existence is just the opposite. Everything here is temporary. The nature of matter, that's something, matter. You can bang it as much as you like. It might break, but it won't protest because it has. There's no sensation of pain. There's no consciousness. And because there's no consciousness, there's no question of happiness. But we are spiritual beings. Everything that is living is conscious. Everything that is living has the nature to be happy, to want to be happy. So we're distinguished from matter, but we have this difference with matter also, that we are eternal. This body is temporary. Since you started listening to me, kindly listening to me, your body and my body has changed. It changes at every moment. We don't notice. But every time we breathe in and breathe out, or even if we hold in our breath or hold it out, the body is changing. At least at the molecular or cellular level. And in fact, in course of time, every 7 years or so, so we're told, every atom changes in our body. Whatever atoms we may have had in our body 7 years ago, they're not in this body now. They've all been replaced. Which means that I am distinct from the body. I'm not these chemicals. There's some sensation. If I hit like that, there's some sensation. Because I, as a soul, a spiritual living being, am locked up in this body. But I don't have any intrinsic relationship with it. The body always changes. Like everything material, it is temporary. But I am eternal. The final change of this body is called death. When the body dies, we go to another body. And this goes on, one body, after another body, after another body, after another body, on and on and on. And in every life, we seek happiness. And in every life, we get some happiness, but we have to suffer disappointment and frustration. And then again, leave the body and take another body, and it goes on and on and on. So this is a festival. It means joyful. Life is meant to be joyful. We're all meant for joy. We're not meant for suffering. Spiritual life means that life in which we are always joyful. So you might think that, well, spiritual life means to drink a bottle of whiskey because you become joyful. But that is not joy. That kind of pleasure is simply a covering over our inner distress. Real joy is the joy of the soul in relationship with the Supreme Soul. The word is there in English, God. Unfortunately, the general impression that people have of God is someone to be feared. We are told that we should fear God. Well, God is very powerful, no doubt. But God means not powerful like some bully, but very powerful, loving, joyful. God is the Supreme Soul, so He's the Supreme Joyful, the Supreme Loving. Speaking about joy, spirit, the joy of spiritual life, I'd said that drinking whiskey does not give us joy. We might think, well, it seems like that to me. If we think like that, that means that we are out of contact with our own soul. We don't know what joy is. Joy is on the spiritual platform. That means soul to soul love. Love is the real joy. When we don't have that love, then we try to get joy from, for instance, whiskey, or getting more money, or a big car, or there's so many things. This whole modern civilization is developed on the basis of developing all kinds of different things, so many different diversions. Here we have a school of music. Here we have a football museum. There are so many different ways in which we're trying to divert our mind into things that we think will be pleasurable. But actual joy is on the platform of love. That is soul to soul, two persons. We can say that I love Manchester United or Manchester City or whatever. Or I love this kind of, some kind of music. But the basis of love is personal, person to person. We love a person. God means the supreme lovable person, the source of all love. So when our love is linked to God, that is our actual relationship with God. It's not based on fear. If there's fear, there cannot be love. So this idea that we should fear God, otherwise He'll burn us in hell forever, that does not encourage real spiritual reciprocation with God, who is love. So, spiritual life means love. With the center is the supreme person, who is God. His name is Krishna. He has many names. We know Him by the name Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. He is attractive in all ways. He's the supreme, powerful, yes. Be careful. You may have grounds to fear Him also. But just like the lion is a very powerful animal, we have reason to fear the lion. But the lion's cubs, they don't fear the lion. The lion is affectionate to the cubs. So similarly, if we become a cub of Krishna. Krishna means all powerful, all beautiful. Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya. He owns everything. All famous, all beautiful, all knowledgeable, and at the same time detached. He's not trying to acquire anything or exploit us. This is Krishna. Krishna means the supreme, lovable person. So, spiritual... What's going on, Tribhango?
Just trying to increase the volume.
Trying to increase the volume. Let them all hear it.
Yeah. Speak strongly.
Speak strongly. Yeah, that's my motto, isn't it? Yeah, let everyone hear it. It's worth hearing. So this festival is meant to announce to everyone that we are meant to be happy, we should be happy, we can be happy. We have to know how to be happy. We don't know. We just simply have to know this, that this body is temporary. I have no permanent relationship with this body. Previously, I had so many bodies, but I have an eternal spiritual relationship with Krishna. So in this festival, we've been chanting Hare Krishna, or in full, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is there are always unexpected things in the material world. Okay, Hare Krishna. I don't have to hold anything. This is a mantra. You know all the word, you all know the word mantra. Mantra is a Sanskrit word. Now it's probably in the English dictionary. Man means mind. And tra, the second part, comes from triyate, means that which delivers. So a mantra is that which delivers our consciousness from illusion. We are all in the illusion of considering this body to be ourself and the pleasure of this body to be the goal of our life. So a mantra delivers us from illusion. this mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, is called the Maha mantra. Maha means great. So this is the great sound, the great chanting for delivering us from illusion, taking us out of illusion. Not only does it take us out of illusion, but it brings us to the place, to the position, to the platform where we need to be. We are presently in a situation which is not conducive to our well-being. That is, we are in this material world. We might think that if I get a big house in a gated colony with all facilities, I will be in a situation for my well-being. But whatever situation we have in this world, there can be no ultimate well-being because we have to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease repeatedly. So chanting this Maha Mantra delivers us to the spiritual world. The spiritual world is the world of Krishna, where everyone lives eternally in an eternal festival where there's always happiness. We are meant for that. This festival is supposed to be a sample of the spiritual world where everyone is happy. There are no factories. There's no English weather. It's all good weather. Even though it's supposed to be a good summer. Still going on, almost. Everything is blissful. Everything is centered around Krishna. Krishna means the supreme loving person. What does he do? What does God do? Does he sit on a cloud, scratching his beard, chucking people into hell? Ha 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 ha. There goes another one. No. Krishna is very kind, sweet, loving, and playful. That's the Irish God. Don't blame it on the Irish. You Welshman. Krishna is all loving, all sweet, and very playful. Krishna is always dancing and singing and loving and eating, not gluttonously, but eating very nicely. This material world is simply a reflection of the spiritual world. Whatever nice things we do here, it's all done in the spiritual world, but there's no bad things in the spiritual world. So, the Maha Mantra, chanting this mantra, delivers us from all our ignorance and anxiety and illusion and material attachments and distress, and delivers us to the spiritual world. Krishna mantra hoite hobe shongshar mochan. The first effect of chanting this Krishna mantra is that we get released from the material condition of birth and death. And Krishna nama hoite pabe Krishna charan. Then chanting this mantra delivers us to the lotus feet of Krishna in the spiritual world. Krishna is here also. Krishna is everywhere. Krishna, that's the basic definition of God. He is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. He's not an omnivore. He's a vegetarian. So Krishna is everywhere. And if we chant Hare Krishna, then the effect is, the first effect is, if we regularly chant this Hare Krishna mantra, then the first effect is that our heart will be cleansed. God is in our heart. Krishna is in everyone's heart. He's in everyone's atom. He's in every atom. He's between the atoms. Krishna is that unifying principle of everything that the scientists will never find. You can make as powerful a microscope as you like, and as powerful a telescope, and you can apply your intelligence, but you won't find Krishna, because Krishna cannot be found by any material means, not simply by exercise of our intelligence. A little faith is required that there is God, that life is not simply working, living, dying. It's not just some combination of chemicals. There is God. Krishna is everywhere. And we can contact Krishna by chanting this Maha Mantra. We can begin to perceive Krishna in our life, Krishna everywhere. Chanting this Maha Mantra, it cleans the heart. People ask us, is there God? You should show me God. If you don't show me God, why should I believe in Him? But to see God, we can all see God, but some qualification is required. God means all pure. So if our heart is not pure, then we cannot contact God. We may even think that there is no God. What do we need God for? Well, we get our food at Tesco and we watch the TV, and what do we need God for? Where does God come into it? If we think like this, that means we're out of touch with our own very self, because our own very self is intimately related with God. That is the very meaning of our being. As spiritual beings, the very meaning of our being is that we have an intimate relationship with Krishna. But we've forgotten that. We just see everything external. We think, if I can bring more and more things to fill up my house, that will fulfill me. We get more and more and more things, but there's nothing inside, empty inside. So, purification is required. We can all see God. Why not? But we have to become pure. At the moment, in our material condition, our consciousness is impure. Impure means we have so many material desires. I want this, I want that, I want something else. With the idea that if I get more, I'll be more fulfilled. I'll be better. I'll be better than others. If I have a Mercedes car, I'm better than someone with a Volkswagen car. If I have the latest fashion clothing, I'm better than someone who doesn't. If I earn as much as a football player, then I'm better than the people who are watching them in the stands. So the very idea that I need to get this and I need to get that and I need more and more and more, it is an impurity. This very conception, it covers our pure, natural, spiritual consciousness. It is a contamination. So there's desire, karma, material desire. And when that is intensified, that becomes greed. So lust, greed, anger and frustration, these go together. Anger and frustration. Among some people, to be angry is considered a good quality. How much you can be hard and tough and beat people up is not a good quality. This is contamination on the soul. So anger comes out of frustration. When we desire to be happy, but we're not. And then we become angry. Anger can be an almost permanent situation. You always feel angry, feel frustrated. Why is the world against me? Why is everyone against me? I want so many things. I don't get it. I'm always feeling angry. Illusion is another contamination on the soul. We don't know who we are. We never think, who am I? We just presume I have my name on my passport and that's me. If we are, who are you? Your name is such and such. You got that name, someone gave you that, your parents gave you that name. But is that you? It's written in the passport, born in the year 1990, something like this. But before 1990, if your birth date is 1990, you existed. You had another body. Now you have a body with a certain name, and because we're in this body and it has a certain name, and I was born in England, so I think I must be English. But we don't really know who we are at all. We just think, I'm this body, and that's me. And we never inquire into it. And we're told at school that we're just a bunch of chemicals. There was some long, long ago, there was nothing. Then there was a big bang. Then there was everything. And eventually all these chemicals bubbled up in a big primordial soup. And after some time, some monkeys jumped out. And that was my great-grandfather. And here we all are today. So we presume that, well, they told us in school it must be right. But anyone who's intelligent, they can understand that the first sign of intelligence is to disbelieve, or at least to doubt everything you're told at school. Because after all, school is just meant for training us so that we can do some job and become part of a big economic machine which is making someone somewhere a hell of a lot of money. So, we're in illusion. We don't really know who we are. We want to be happy. We haven't got a clue how to be happy because everyone else seems to be, they seem to be convinced that, well, we shall be happy by buying clothes and having a good, respectable job and doing all the things which everyone else does. Well, everyone else does it, so I should do it too. That means we're not at all intelligent. We never stop to think. We never stop to look around and see, look, well, everyone's miserable, so why should I be miserable like them? What's really the purpose of life? That's when intelligence begins. But we're in illusion. And modern society has created so many illusions, like the football museum, that this is a football, and then, oh yeah, what's the latest score, and what's going on in the news? Are we going to have fun over in Syria? Let's see, what's going on, and what's the latest, and this and that, and the latest, and the latest, and the latest, and the latest, the latest news, this, that, the other. We go through a whole life reading the newspaper, and at the end, you either have a grave or an incinerator, if we think we're the body. But we're not the body. We never knew. We never knew who we are. Here's a good example. When someone died, here we're supposed to be talking about the joy of the festival. But to get to the joy, we have to be deprogrammed of thinking of this illusion of thinking that this life is all in all. Okay. I am claiming here, it's not what I'm saying, but it's what's been said by people who are in knowledge since time immemorial. I am not this body. You are not that body. So we have a very good demonstration of this. When anyone dies, of course, nowadays we don't see people die, because when you've worked all your life and they can't squeeze any more blood out of you, they send you off to the old folks' home. So you don't see them dying. You don't see people dying. In most cultures of the world since time immemorial, people, they have families. You know that word, family? It's still a bit old-fashioned, but there's still such a thing. It's still in the vocabulary. So people, they live in the family. They're born, and then when they get, they work and they live their life. And when they get old, they're looked after until they die. So you see people die. It's a regular thing. So when someone dies, it's a euphemism. You might think it's a euphemistic way of saying it. We say, he has gone away. Sorry, I was born a generation ago, and I didn't get used to saying he or she. He, but it's only one person died. So all right, she has gone away. Unless they both die together. Okay, she has gone away. Now, in every language of the world, when someone dies, they say the same thing. I don't know every language of the world, but I'm pretty sure whatever language anyone here may speak apart from English, you have that saying, for when someone dies, you say they go away. I know two languages other than English. One is Hindi, in which they say, chale gaya. And in Bengali, they say, chale gaya. And whatever other language there may be, and mostly it's something like that in North Indian languages. Gujarati ma, how do you say? I never learned it. I say this again and again. I should learn it. What is it in Gujarati? You don't know Gujarati. Sindhi? Alivio, well, that's something different. Any, we have any Italians, French, Portuguese, Thai, Dutch, double Dutch, Chinese?
Welsh.
Welsh, you don't speak Welsh. Okay, what is it in Welsh? Come and tell us. Do you know enough Welsh to say that?
Sharon. Hello? Hello?
See, they don't like Welsh people. He's gone away. Gone away. He's a good singer. Welsh, generally good singers. It's in the culture. So, gone away, if we say someone has gone away, then someone else will say, he's not known. You see? Oh, my father's gone. Oh, it's mother. My mother's gone away. My mother's gone. No, you see, she's just lying on the bed. No, she's gone away. She's lying on the bed. She's gone away. Who or what went away? All our life, we've been relating. My dear mother, this is my mother. It's the same body. Why do we say now it's gone? She's gone away. You have to take the body away and burn it. If you don't take the body away and burn it, it's a crime. If you took the body away before she went away and burned it, that would be a crime. So what's the difference between the dead body and the living body? The difference is that she's gone away. It means the soul has gone away, which means that we thought that the body was my mother, but the person is the soul. When the soul goes away, we call that death. But when we say gone away, that means that we know, we feel that the person still exists. No one has actually died. The body, only the body has changed, that's all. Just like I was saying, every 7 years, all the atoms in our body change. So the body is always changing. And the final change is called death. But it's only a change of chemicals. It's only the chemicals are changing. But the person stays the same. So this is the illusion that we don't know who we actually are. So I was talking about all the contaminations on the soul, the contaminations by which we cannot see God. So there is material desire, there is greed, there is anger or frustration, there is illusion, there is pride, there is envy, there's pride. We like to think, I'm better than someone else. I'm better than others. Let me show myself to be others and better than others. And there's envy. If someone is clearly better than us or has something better than us, we feel envy. So these are all contaminations that cover our consciousness. And because of this, we cannot see God. We cannot understand God. We do not even know who we are. We're out of contact with our real spiritual nature, our real pure and happy nature. So chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, it's a prayer to Krishna, and the effect of that is, the first effect of that is that it cleans our consciousness. This is called yoga. Yoga, generally we think yoga means some exercises. But the core meaning of the word yoga is to link up, like the word yoke. That's almost archaic word. Of course, there's egg yolk, but that's something completely different, spelled differently. This yoke is used in the sense of yoking animals to a cart or a plow. They're yoked up. The bulls or the horses, they're yoked. So yoga means to yoke. It means to link up. Yoga means to link with God. So chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, that links us with God. It's a gradual process, because we can relate with God, with Krishna, as much as we are prepared to accept Him. He's fully prepared to accept us, just like the parents are always ready to accept the children. Well, maybe not in the modern age, but anyway, that's the standard example. But we are not fully ready to accept God, because from time immemorial, not just in this life, but from life after life, life after life after life, we've been cultivating in our hearts, instead of cultivating love of God, we've been cultivating material desires, greed, anger, illusion, envy, pride, and we take that to be normal. So people say, show me God. We have to become purified. We have to get the qualification. Qualification means we have to be of purified consciousness. Otherwise, even if we see God, we can't understand. We can't recognize. Just like we can't meet the Prime Minister. He's a much bigger person than us. So I may say, I don't believe there's any Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Show him to me. So he may say, okay, but we have to make an appointment, and I'm not sure if he'll see us. We have to have some qualification. You have to be, you also have to be a prime minister of some country, or a big shot in a corporation, or something like this, to meet such an important person. So we have to get some qualification. The qualification to see God is that we have to have pure consciousness. And also, we have to have knowledge of who is God, otherwise we won't recognize him. Now, probably almost everyone here, if they saw a photo of the current Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, they would recognize, oh, that's a photo of David Cameron. But maybe someone doesn't. And then he might be introduced to the Prime Minister and say, well, what do you mean it's the Prime Minister? Looks like an ordinary person to me. If you don't know who the Prime Minister is, you could see him directly, but you wouldn't recognize him. So to see God, we have to know who he is. Because he's also a person. He's the supreme person. But if we don't have knowledge of him, it might seem to us that he's just an ordinary person. If you see the Prime Minister, you might think he's an ordinary person. In many ways, he is. I mean, despite all his responsibilities, I'm sure he brushes his teeth in the morning and takes a shave. So in many ways, he's like an ordinary person. But in other ways, he's not at all an ordinary person. He's an extraordinary person. I'm just giving a mundane example. I'm not doing a plug for the Conservative Party or for the British political system. I'm just giving it as an example. So, to see God, we have to get the qualification, which means purification of consciousness. And we have to know something about God. Otherwise, if we see him, we may not recognize him at all. So chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, that gives us with regular practice, that purifies the heart. Because by chanting the name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that name of God, that name of Krishna, it is a mantra. It is not an ordinary sound. It has an effect on the mind. It purifies the mind, delivers the mind from lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion, and all the contaminations on the heart. That purifies us, and that awakens our dormant, natural attraction to Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. Our nature is to be attracted to Krishna, to love Krishna. But because we're trying to be happy, forgetting Krishna, we've forgotten Krishna, so we don't feel any attraction. That is an unnatural situation. By chanting the names of Krishna, that purifies the heart. The consciousness becomes purified. That is the first effect of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. This chanting of Hare Krishna, this should be accompanied by acquiring knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge means knowledge of who we are, what we are meant for, what is our real life, who is God, what is our relationship with God, why we are suffering in this material world, how we can get free from it. It is a great subject, this spiritual knowledge. So when we have that knowledge, then we can see with the eyes of spiritual knowledge. We all see the world, but we don't just see it with our eyes. We all see it through a world view. We all have some philosophy or other. Most people don't have any specific philosophy. They just live their lives. But even without a specific philosophy, every human being has a world view, a rationalization of everything. Everything we see, we fit it into a category within our mind. We judge it according to our world view. Now, if our world view is eat, drink, be merry and enjoy, for tomorrow we are all dead, then we will see the world like that. Everything here in this world, we will think, is meant for me to enjoy. Let me enjoy it as much as I can, because anyway, I'm going to be dead, so let me enjoy while I can. So that's one kind of worldview. There are other worldviews also. Some people think that I believe in God and I am saved, and everyone who doesn't have the same dogmatic belief as I do will have to burn in hell forever. And they see the world through this worldview, that my job in this world is to go and catch people and save them from the all-merciful, loving God throwing us into hell forever without any hope of redemption. So this is one kind of worldview. And there are nuances on our worldview also. Just like people in Britain who are British, they think, I am British. And there's a whole cultural package which goes with being British, which we're probably not even aware of, because we just presume that's what it's like. This is, what's that? I should stop speaking. We're going to have a dance. Okay. All right. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. Well, I would say that the dancing is fun, but okay, they need to have a dance. I would say this is more important, but that's my worldview. I think that the philosophy and communicating it is very important. I have to stop. Okay, it's gone from a request to an order. Very quickly. All right, well, this is important. It is the most important thing to understand who we are as spiritual beings. What is our real purpose in life? So, please take a book. We have books over here which discuss all these points. All right, Hare Krishna.